God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Jason Zurich with you tonight. Sitting in with me is my guest, David Odegaard. He blogs for us at Worldview Warriors and also is the pastor at Wharton First Church of God. Tonight, you know, I kind of dig into desires and just what does it mean to follow God and so much more. So with that, I know that was a terrible setup, friends, but I just want you to know that tonight, David and I think, have something really special for you.
Oh, yeah. Très magnifique.
Yes. And I want to begin with this. When a lot of you know my story, but when I was finally deciding I want to follow wherever truth leads, when I finally made that decision in my life, and I said, no matter what, no matter where it takes me, I'm going to go where truth leads, even if I don't like the answers. It didn't matter to me where it even led. If it was going to lead me to some religion thing of, oh, yogis and doing all that stuff, I didn't care. It was, I want to go where truth goes no matter what. If that meant there's no God, then there's no God. If that meant Jesus is the way, then Jesus is the way. If that meant whatever truth was, that's what I wanted. And I just decided in my mind, in my spirit, no matter where that leads, I'm going there. And so, without even realizing it, I really had decided, now that where I'm at, I really was deciding I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. I just didn't know it. That's really the decision I had made long before I even realized it. Because, friends, the word of God is clear. Jesus is the life. He's the truth. I mean, friends, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's all of that. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Well, now that I'm where I'm at, I know that's true. And friends, we live in such a different time today, at least through my own experience of talking to people. And to be quite blunt, to be quite honest, for me, it's been kind of difficult. Well, it's been a difficult road of trying to figure out, okay, how do I share truth with people that say they want the truth, but really what they want are their desires filled that are human and not go the way of God, even when I'm showing the truth. Now, they claim that they want the truth, but as I think you're going to find, and friend, maybe this might be you, I don't know. As you're going to find, there is a difference between going where truth goes no matter what and wanting God to fulfill your desires. There is a difference. And so, David, while we begin here, can hopefully this has been a good setup for you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, to kind of help us. And again, I really want to point you to a blog post David just wrote, a bulwark against collapse that you can find at worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. And actually, it was released May of this year, so not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple
weeks
ago.
So go ahead, David.
Well, okay, so the structure of our soul, the way it works is that we all have beliefs and we have desires, and beliefs form desires and desires form beliefs, and they go back and forth in this structure. And so the way that we form new beliefs and new desires is we have information that's added in. Now, what happens in the Christian world, like you said, you wanted to follow truth wherever it went, which means that you were putting all of your weight on the belief side of that equation.
Right.
So whatever came that was the truth, and you believed in truth with a capital T, you believed that truth could be found.
Right.
Society doesn't necessarily believe that anymore, but we can get
into
that later. Anyway, you said, wherever the truth leads me, that's where I'm going to go. And Christianity has been structured towards belief formation We have been very weak in the desire formation, but we're structured towards belief. You found propositional truth that it's rational, it proves itself out, and it's easy to follow, and you staked a claim on that.
Right.
So that is the normal way that people become Christians, is that they follow truth. Now, part of the problem with society today is that many of our kids that are raised in the church, we believe totally. We just spend all of our investment in our children on belief formation and not so much on desire formation. So what happens is they have these well-formed beliefs. But just like we saw in the last hour with in the Garden of Eden, they had well-formed beliefs, but the desire for the apple easily overtook the beliefs. And that's what happens a lot of times is they get into college and let's say they meet someone that they fall in love with or they think they fall in love with. And so all of a sudden they have an intense desire for something. Now let's also say that that other person is not a Christian. And so they say, if you want to come with me, you have to leave some of these beliefs behind. And so now that person is stuck in a quandary. Do I satisfy my desires or do I follow my beliefs? What usually happens in the evangelical church today is that people follow their desires. And so there comes a split between their beliefs and their desires. Now, that split happened for you, too.
Right.
You were saying, I don't know if it was on air or during the break, you said, I didn't even care what my desires were. I just wanted to follow the truth.
Yep.
And so when somebody sets out like that, they almost always find Christ. Almost always do. One of the needs that we have, and what I wrote in my blog post for A Bulwark Against Collapse, is how are we going to save Western civilization? Everywhere around us, we see the foundations being destroyed. People don't believe in truth. People don't, I mean, they say they want truth, but what they really want is they want peace from the truth. The demands that truth places on us, they want to be free to enjoy their own sin or their own desires. And so the idea that truth is out there is very, very much downplayed and not believed. So what we have to do is actually form people's desires. That's how we have to invest in our children. And this has been called, all these long centuries, we call this spiritual formation. It's forming our hearts to love that which is good and true and beautiful. Love that which God says is good. And when we can do that, when we can train our hearts to do that, we find that there's a richness and a depth to life with God that we didn't know was there if we only concentrate on propositional truth. So there's a truth that can come and affect us and live in us and live through us. And it's what Paul was referring to when he quoted in the book of Acts, we in him, meaning God, we live and move and have our being. Mm.
You know, you've given me some ideas here and just thoughts. And so you said society doesn't necessarily believe truth exists anymore. What makes you say that?
Well, we call it postmodernism, but it's the idea that because there's no objective reality, because there's no objective reality in God, then that means that everything is relegated to human experience and the subjective realm of human experience. That means I have to make up for myself my own reality, my own definition of what reality is. And this was Friedrich Nietzsche's his shtick. He said, because Europe believes God is dead. Now, he was an atheist and believed that God never lived, but he said, God is as good as dead in Europe. And because that's the way it is, no longer will European governments and churches and individuals operate on the idea that they're accountable to a God. And so he saw this as a freedom. We get to write our own script. And that's when the notion of truth with a capital T really was dethroned. They didn't believe that any longer you could find truth. It only became what's true for you. And that is the spirit of the age in which we live. When you talk to the man on the street, chances are he believes that.
You know, with that too, what's coming to my mind is, you know, you'd written, or you'd said, I should say, they want freedom from truth.
Right.
They want freedom from truth. And so with that, at least for me then, if that's true, which I think, at least from what we see, I think the evidence is pretty clear that that's what many people desire, because if they don't get freedom from truth, then what happens is they start to feel guilty.
Right.
Because they're fulfilling a desire that they know is sinful. And so they almost look at guilt as, okay, that is bad, when really what it is, it's a warning system that's been put in place.
Right.
And it's as if people want to disengage that warning system. I guess for me, they want to sear their conscience is how I take that.
Right. I totally agree. Not that they would ever say that.
No, I'm not saying they'd admit that.
They want to make peace with their conscience. They do want to sear the conscience. They don't want to feel that anymore, because they've already decided to follow their desires rather than the truth. And so they have to somehow appease the voice of God. And that comes with searing the conscience. And that is idolatry. That is exactly what idolatry has always been, is that I prefer to follow my own desires rather than the God who is. That's what Romans chapter 1, 18 through, I think, 24 is all about, is that they chose, instead of receiving the truth of God, they chose to follow a lie because their deeds were evil and their foolish hearts were darkened by that.
You know, friends, we're going to continue this discussion as we move forward. Again, if you have any comments or questions, we would love to hear that. And I want to dig into this more if we can, because I think it's fair to say, with a lot of people even listening, this is possibly, you know, either hitting a soft spot, or it's definitely ringing true, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and partly, I can say this because I've been in a number of discussions, as I'm sure you have too, where this is just kind of the flavor of the day.
Right. This is the conversation that gets repeated over and over. If somebody calls and says, Pastor, I want to talk to you about something, it's almost always related to something like this.
So, friends, you can find us at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent, sitting in with David Odegaard tonight. And I'm your host, Jason DeZurek. Again, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurek.
If you follow the ministry of Worldview Warriors, you know I have a saying that says, if we get the love part wrong, what's the point? Well, friends, love does not have to see the end results or even potential end results to keep on loving. It keeps on loving anyway. Jesus endured the cross in part because he saw the end results. He knew that mankind would be saved through his death, but he also went through that suffering knowing many would still die and go to hell in rejecting him. He still loved Judas, despite knowing he would betray him. Friends, to check out more on this, I encourage you to find Charlie Wolcott's blog post titled Love Never Fails at our website.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurek.
On today's Fastcast, let's take a look at Psalm 34. It's pretty clear that David wrote this psalm out of his own personal experiences. David had gotten into a situation in Gath where he was afraid for his life, but he trusted God to protect him. Friends, what does God's protection look like in your life? Are you daily praising God for all the ways that he protects you? Are you tasting and seeing God's goodness in your life? Friends, we are called to fear God and give him glory and praise with our lives. I encourage you to read the entire psalm there, Psalm 34, and why not find our blog post written on it by Katie Erickson, and it's titled Psalm 34.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Welcome back in to Do Not Keep Silent. Thanks for tuning in to the program. Again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. And digging into, well, without realizing it, some of you hopefully are seeing that, well, maybe in your life you've allowed idolatry to rear its ugly head. That's something David brought up, of that this kind of thinking of fulfilling a desire and not looking at truth or ignoring it flat out or wanting God to fill a desire, that's really about idolatry.
Right.
Can you kind of dig into that for our listeners?
You bet. So John Calvin said that our hearts are like an idol's factory. We just churn them out over and over again because we all are trying to satisfy this interplay between our beliefs and our desires. And we human beings often err on the side of our desires. We try to justify those rather than discipline ourselves. So that's the only two ways we can go about this. Either we discipline our desires because of our beliefs, or we change our beliefs so that we can follow our desires. And if they're good desires, well, then there's no problem. You know, we change our beliefs if they're bad beliefs. But what idolatry is the justification that we come up with. Let me give you an example.
Yeah, great.
So young man goes to college, and there he meets a young woman that he just loves her. She's not a Christian, and she says, if you want to follow me, or if you want to come with me and be my boyfriend or whatever, you're going to have to leave behind this Christianity. And so it's an idol in his heart if he says, look, I just can't live without her, so therefore I'm going to adjust my Christianity, and I'm going to put Jesus on the back burner so that I can pursue this relationship with this woman. Because what he's doing is he's expecting from her what only God can give him, and that is to satisfy the ultimacy in his heart. So he's looking to her to provide that. And what happens is generally they destroy each other. It crash and burn. And because when we expect from other people what only God can give us, they can't give it to us. They can't meet that need. It's cliche now, but Augustine said that there's a hole in the human heart that's God-shaped, and only God can fill it. And so when I expect something else to fill it, I'm expecting too much from those human relationships. But that's exactly what happens. So that is the essence of idolatry.
And, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I just want to be clear. You're not saying that we shouldn't have a good relationship with our wife, or that a wife should not have a good relationship with her husband. You're not saying that, right?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, what you're saying is that really the focus should be God.
Right.
And that as a husband, you need to love your wife as Christ loves the church.
Right. I would go so far as to say that you can't really love your wife, and she can't really love you until you put God at the center of your marriage. It's always surprising to the world when they do studies that confirm biblical Christianity. So there was one that just came out. I forget the details, but we can probably find it and throw it up on the website. But there was just a recent study that showed that conservative Christian women are the most satisfied with their marriage of any other demographic group in the United States, which underscores this point. If they're looking to their husbands to give them the satisfaction and ultimate meaning and value of their life, the validation of their entire lives, if they're looking to their husband to do that for them, he's never going to be able to. He's never going to measure up. So she's always going to feel like she's being shortchanged. But if she taps into God, and God can do that, can provide ultimate meaning and value, and then her relationship with her husband is good. She's not trying to get from him what only God can give. She's trying to get from him what he can give.
Right. Her not making him God in her life.
Right.
That position is filled.
That's right. And there's a fullness already. And so her love doesn't come out of the desire to have him minister and feed her God hunger. In fact, that's already full. So she is able to just love him out of the overflow. He does the same. And that is the highest form of marriage possible.
And friends, too, I just want you to know I've found at least something about what David's talking about. So I'll throw that up at the Do Not Keep Silent Facebook page.
Right on.
And you can go read that for yourself. Friends, it's just starting off, you know, a new study examining the correlation between religion and marital happiness found that women are part of a highly religious traditional couple are most likely to report being happy in marriage as well as sexually satisfied in their relationship. And friends, it's actually from something May 22nd, 2019. So fairly new.
Yeah, it's a new study. Okay. It just came out.
That's awesome. So friends, I'll throw that up at the Facebook page for Do Not Keep Silent, and you'll be able to find that there. You know, David, something that's also coming to my mind with all of this, because you know, we hear, you know, we've been talking about desires and, you know, truth, you know, or just following God, not following God. You know, in Psalm 37, because we hear this quoted a lot, I think, but we don't hear it in its entirety. Generally, we hear just part of it, which makes it a lie. I just want to be clear on that. Again, friends, as you already know, if you tuned into this program, Psalm 14:1 does claim there is no God. It says it right in there. There is no God, but that's not all of it. It says the fool in his heart says there is no God. That's the full truth. Okay?
Context is everything.
Context, context, context. So in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says this, okay? God will give you the desires of your heart. It actually says that. Now, here's the context. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, if you don't mind, as we move up to the top of the hour here and just finish this program, can you kind of break that down for us a little bit? What does take delight in the Lord actually mean?
You bet. I'd like to quote Augustine again, if I can.
Good. Okay, of course.
He said, love God with all your heart, then do whatever you want. The idea being that when we love God with all of our heart, he fills our desires up, and we begin to desire that which is good, that which is true, and that which is beautiful. We have a desire for the good life, and he wants to fill that. God wants us to flourish. He wants us to thrive. He created the Garden of Eden, after all, and he placed us in there, and we're the ones that messed all that up. And ever since that day, he's been on a rescue mission for us. He's been seeking how he can grab a hold of us and bring us back into relationship with him and ultimately paradise again. That is our future for those of us who believe. And so God is wanting us to desire the good things. Our problem is because of our idolatry, we aim far too low. We're satisfied with baubles and tawdry things. And if we only knew what God had in store for us, we would desire him. So yeah, that's the idea behind that psalm, is that when we delight in the Lord, he gives us proper desires, and those proper desires are easily fulfilled by him.
Awesome.
Is that how you see it?
Yes, absolutely. I think when we want to follow God and we choose to actually follow him, our life is going to be so much better than we even realize. And I also believe that with following God and actually reading God's word and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, well, the scripture talks about that we grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything, by the renewing of our minds. It's not just, okay, all of a sudden I've changed my mind on things. No. This is going to take time generally. So know that, again, John Wooden actually said, all good things take time. It's just true. It's part of how God ordered things. And so, yes, can miracles happen? Of course. Of course, things can change, you know, at the snap of a finger. Now, that can happen. But generally, God wants to, I can't say how God thinks for sure, because I'm not him. But in his word, when you are reading his word and you're seeing how he did things, Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. people grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm not going to say always through pain, but time is usually a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that? Or?
Well, absolutely. So there's there's two ways that we can go about this. So I would encourage everybody, if you're going to live the good life, the life with God, allow your beliefs to be formed by the Bible. Then allow your desires to conform to those beliefs. Or, if you have to, you can do it the other way. Spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines are actually what we do, prayer, Bible reading. They form our desires. And when our desires are formed rightly, then our beliefs fall in line. Either one you want to go with, but it's always the Bible. The Bible is the gold standard. So whether you want to begin to conform your desires or conform your beliefs, always conform to the Scripture. And if you don't do that, you are not following Christ.
And friends, that's David Odegaard, blogger for Worldview Warriors and pastor at Wharton First Church of God here in Wharton, Ohio. And again, if you want to contact him, it's pretty easy. You can just find him on Facebook if you want. Also, you can find him through our ministry as well. Again, my name is Jason DeZurek, your host for Do Not Keep Silent. I thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and equipped in all that you do. We go out and make today great.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.